Chapter 48, Problem Solving and Conflict Resolution. Understanding the perversity of human nature, Jesus gave explicit rules for our dealing with one another. Our Redeemer understood the perversity of human nature, and in order to save the souls for whom he sacrificed his life, and establish his church in unity and prosperity upon the earth, he has given explicit rules for church members to follow in dealing with one another. Hear what he says: "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." Value the gift of peacemaking. Where are those who do not stint or measure their loving labor for the Master? Who are striving to quell every dissension in the church, being peacemakers in Christ's name? Who are seeking to answer the prayer of Christ, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me? Could our Lord speak these words, so gracious, so full of meaning, of the churches in their present state of feeble love, of dissension and petty trial, churches that are calling ministers from important work to settle their little manufactured difficulties, thus showing that they have no connection with God? No. The members of the church must come into unity, and in order to do this, they must have less of self, and more of Jesus. They must learn of Christ. They must be meek and lowly of heart. Their selfish pride must die. Then their mountains of difficulty will be reduced to molehills. When united with Christ, members will solve church problems with sympathy, tenderness, and love. The Bible sets before us a model church. They are to be in unity with each other, and with God. When believers are united in Christ the living vine, the result is that they are one with Christ, full of sympathy and tenderness and love. Problems are solved when we approach others in a spirit of meekness, kindness, and mercy. Never question the motives of your brethren, for as you judge them, God has declared you will be judged. Open your hearts to kindliness, to the cheering rays of the Sun of Righteousness. Encourage kindly thoughts and holy affections. Cultivate the habit of speaking well of your brethren. Let not pride or selfish righteousness prevent you from making a frank and full confession of your wrongdoings. If you do not love those for whom Christ has died, you have no genuine love for Christ, and your worship will be as a tainted offering before God. If you cherish unworthy thoughts, misjudging your brethren and surmising evil of them, God will not hear your self-sufficient, self-exalted prayers. When you go to those who you think are doing wrong, you must have the spirit of meekness, of kindness, and be full of mercy and good fruits. Do not show partiality to one or more, and neglect other of your brethren because they are not congenial to you. Beware lest you deal harshly with those who you think have made mistakes, while others, more guilty and more deserving of reproof, who should be severely rebuked for their unchristlike conduct, are sustained and treated as friends. Solve problems by counseling together. The Spirit of Christ is grieved when any of his followers give evidence of possessing a harsh, unfair, or exacting spirit. As laborers together with God, each should regard the other as part of God's great firm. He desires that they shall counsel together. There is to be no drawing apart, for the spirit of independence dishonors the truth we profess. One special evidence that the Spirit of Christ is abiding in his church is the unity and harmony which exist among its members. This is the brightest witness to the possession of true religion, for it will convert and transform the natural man, and fashion him after the divine similitude. An accusing spirit prevents the solving of problems. There are some who imagine that it is their duty to be church tinkers. It is agreeable to their natural feelings to be seeking spot and stain in others. They watch diligently for something to reprove, and they become narrower and narrower in their ideas, until they are ready to make one an offender for a word. In the Sabbath meetings, when all should be individually engaged in the worship of God, an accusing spirit is allowed to come in, and one bears testimony against another. This spirit is wholly unlike Christ, and leads to dissension and wrangling. God no more accepts such worship than he accepted Cain's offering. There is no more effectual hindrance to growth in grace than this disposition to criticize and condemn others. We have in our experience seen this accusing spirit gradually enter the hearts of church members until it had leavened nearly the entire church, and the result was that little of real godliness or of the Spirit of Christ remained.